So, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Okay, right, there we go. Got the Who song going. But that's a good question, though. Who are you? We're going to talk about that. You know, it's interesting. We meet for worship 52 weeks per year, 52 Sundays, I think it rounds out to be. Sometimes during the year, we will have things that will sort of converge at the same time, and there'll be a couple of things happening on the same Sunday. And so as I look at planning worship and as preaching, it's like, well, where do I go? And this week is kind of one of those weeks in that we have something very significant happening, that we're honoring our graduates, and we want to talk about graduation and the significance of that, and take this moment in time to really sort of honor them and celebrate them, but to also to look at what maybe some of the spiritual implications going forward from that can be, not just for them but for all of us. And then we're also in the church calendar year, liturgical calendar, when looking at the lectionary, we're at the last Sunday in what we call the season of Easter. Easter has six Sundays that follow it. And as we come up to this Sunday, this is sometimes called Ascension Sunday, because it's where the disciples received the Great Commission. And so we've got that going on. And so as I was looking at those two things, it occurred to me that those fit together, I think, very nicely. And so we're going to look at both of those things today. We're going to talk about who are you. You know, and it's maybe just more than what we do, as we kind of look at what is our core identity, and what do you mean by that when you say, what is your core identity? Because it's very important for us to understand that we are more than simply the job we do, that we have a core identity and what that is. And then we're going to kind of unpack some scriptures where Jesus is with the disciples for the last time and he's given the commission, and how out of that we can, I believe, all discover, not just graduates, but all of us in here, wherever we are on our journey, can discover what our core identity is. And from that, we can also find out what our mission in life is, you know, how we join together in doing that. You know, we're all seeking purpose. We're all seeking meaning. And I know you graduates, as you come to this time, have probably been people asking, what are you going to do next? You know, what are you going on? Are you going to go to school? Are you going to go into the military? Are you going to go into a career? What are you going to do? What are you going to be when you grow up? Kind of things. And so, but those are questions that sort of repeat themselves throughout life. And some of us are asking ourselves, what are we going to do when we grow up? Because, you know, we've come to know that people change careers, you know, and change careers, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But first of all, I'd like to tell you and start by telling you a little bit about my journey. And so when I was in 1993, I was about to go to seminary, and my sister Lois sent me a letter. She lives in Florida now, but she lived in Japan at that time. And so she's a good bit older than me, but she wrote me a letter, and I'd said that, you know, I told everybody I was going to seminary and was starting that fall. That summer, she wrote me a letter to encourage me, and she told me a story in the letter that she had always known that I was going to be a preacher, because, and you got to understand, I was in my early 30s at the time, so she, you know, that I was going to be a preacher, because when I was a little boy. And she's almost 11 years older than me. She remembers this, and I don't. But she remembers this, that I would line up all of my stuffed animals, and I would play church. I would have church. I don't know if there were any baptisms or not, but apparently I did this thing. Now, there's a couple of things about this story. First of all, I have no memory of this whatsoever. None. I do not remember playing church with my teddy bears when I was a kid. I do remember playing live Atlanta wrestling with my biggest teddy bear, but I don't remember ever playing church. And the second part of this that I find interesting is that, so she knew that I was going to be a preacher when I was a little kid, but this was never, ever mentioned. I grew up, I never, ever thought about being a preacher. If you had asked me, what are you going to do when you grow up? You know, 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old. Never one time did it ever enter into my mind, I'm going to be a preacher when I grow up. In fact, it was not until I got into my mid-20s and I was working in a church full time that I ever even considered the idea, the audacity, that I would go to seminary and become a preacher. But then God knew, and maybe there was some sort of prevenient grace going on with the teddy bears. God knew, and so, you know, in 1993, I began seminary. So so then we come to another date, 2003. And here's why this is significant, because you guys, not you guys, but you guys began first grade in 2003. You remember that? Am I right? I did my math right? Right? 2003. Don't look at me confused. I thought I did the math right. And why I know this is because my nephew, Teresa's brother's kid, Ethan, is also graduating from high school this year. He's a senior. In 2003, I was graduating with my doctorate. And Ethan had just finished kindergarten, and he's never been a big fan of school. And so even as a kindergartner, so he comes to me, you know, after graduating, there was a party at my house, and he was there, and he came and said, "Uncle Dave, how long did you have to go to school to get your doctorate?" And so I said, "Well, Ethan, okay, you take kindergarten, and there's 12 more years, so that's 13 years. And then, let's see, there's 4 years for my undergraduate, so that's, what, 17 years. Then I had 3 years to go and get my master's of divinity, so that's 20 years. And then 3 years for my doctorate, 23 years. And Ethan was like, "Oh, my gosh, I don't want to do that." And so, but it was around this time in 2003 that I heard for the very first time this phrase, which I've heard a lot since then. It's almost become a cliche, but I want to say it now and refer to it a little bit later as well. And that is the phrase lifelong learner. You ever heard that phrase? Sure you have. Lifelong learner. It's really the first time that I'd heard it was in 2003. And I realized then that I really, even though I spent at that time like half of my life at least in school, but that I was wanting to be a lifelong learner. And so as you graduates, as you begin, you know, now, I hope that regardless of what you do, that you'll be a lifelong learner. And for all of us in here who are listening to this, I hope that we're all lifelong learners. That we're not just saying we've arrived, but we're continuously looking and trying to improve and go on to things. Now, why this will be so important for not just you guys, but for many of us in here, is that they say now that the average person changes careers how many times? You heard? Latest statistic. They used to say 7 times, 7 different careers over a course of a lifetime of a high school graduate. I saw an article I read this week from Wall Street Journal that said, if you think 7 years, think twice. They're saying 14 years, 14 different, you're going to have to change 14 years. And so why this is important and why this gets critical when we start talking about what is your core identity is this. If you are just your job, if you're just your job, then when you're not doing your job anymore, who are you, right? And that's what happens to people. You know, they say, "Well, what are you?" And they say, "Well, you know, I'm a banker, I'm a lawyer, I'm, you know, a taxi cab driver, I'm a veterinarian, I do taxidermy, you know, whatever it is that they do." Well, if suddenly they lose that job or they stop that job or that job just kind of goes away, who are they? And so we have to look inward at what our core identity is, because within all of us, we have this need for understanding that. We have a need for understanding, you know, that we have a greater purpose in life and what our life's purpose may be and our calling may be. And so it's very critical for us to understand our core identity, because from that, if we understand that, then whatever job we may do as we go through life, we'll understand how the purpose flows out of that and into our relationships and to other callings and other tasks that we do, if we understand, first and foremost, what our core identity is. And so to look at that and to get some insight into how we discover our core identity, I want to look at a text, and it comes from Matthew's Gospel. It's the 28th chapter. And we're going to look at 8 and 10, then we're going to skip a little bit. But if you want to turn there on your Bibles, and I'm glad to see people got their Bibles here, or if you want to go there on your smartphone or however you want to do it, we're going to put it up also on the, there, who are you? Okay, core identity, this is stuff I should have showed you. Okay, so we're going to stop right into Matthew 28:89. And this is Matthew's telling of the resurrection, or at least right after the resurrection. The women have gone to the tomb, and they've seen Jesus. And they haven't seen Jesus. They've seen angels who told them that it's empty. The tomb is empty. Jesus is not there. He's risen from the dead. And so this is what happens next in Matthew. Okay, so the women left the tomb quickly. Now, this is such a cool turn of the phrase. And if you look at it in the biblical languages, it's pretty much the same thing. With fear and great joy. Isn't that cool, that dichotomy together? With fear and great joy. And ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And I just love that. To me, it's almost like, you know, Jesus, it's like, "Hi, what's up?" "Greetings, what is that?" You know, other Gospels, they give a little bit more detail. But Matthew just says, you know, Jesus says, "Hey, greetings, hey, hi." So Jesus says, "Greetings." And of course, they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And so then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Okay, so what is significant now, and we start talking about core identity, is that these two women who were believers, but yet they had their doubts, right? And if, you know, we've talked about in here, and maybe you've heard about Bible studies, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, didn't really get the resurrection part. Jesus had said it repeatedly, but they just didn't seem to understand that Jesus was going to rise again from the dead. And so when he was killed, when he was crucified and died, it was confusing to them, and it was fearful for them. And so when they went to the tomb, and they were going simply to do some things for his body, to help it, you know, in the burial rites, when they show up there and it's not there, then the story is sort of changing and coming together, and we sort of had this sort of eschatological move there within the kingdom of God, that now we're moving from not just people who were followers of this man, we're now, this man has risen from the dead, and we're resurrection people, and it's changed the whole story and the whole course of history. And so Jesus says, "Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." Now, these people hadn't seen the empty tomb. Maybe they went and looked later, but they hadn't seen the empty tomb, and they were scared. They were behind closed doors because of what had gone down with Jesus' crucifixion. And he says, "Go to Galilee." They're in Jerusalem. Friends, this is 70 miles away. 70 miles away. And that's important to think about, that they're going to have to walk 70 miles, not really knowing what they're going to find at the end. Not knowing this. So, but they did it. Did it. So the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Now I'm going to come back to why I think that's important in just a second. But this 70-mile walk, and he goes there, and so what happens? When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That's another turn of phrase. Some doubted. Aren't you glad they left that part in there? They worshiped him, but some doubted. But what it tells us that is we are lifelong learners, and that we are lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ, that there's going to be doubts that's going to be part of our journey. We're not going to arrive there. And all along the way, we may have struggles and doubts, and that's okay. That's part of it. That's part of worship, to sort of struggle that thing together. And that's one of the things that I like about worship, because sometimes we come here and sometimes I feel strong, and you know, that's good. And maybe some of you guys may come and you're feeling weak, and we can be together. And then sometimes I may come and I may be feeling weak, and some of you may be feeling strong. And so, you know, we can help one another in that. That's what the importance of communal worship is. And so, you know, there, doubt is part of it. And I just love it that got left in there, and somebody edited it, didn't say along the way, "Well, that doesn't make it very strong." But because it's such an important part of understanding. And then Jesus says this. He gives a commission. And this is where we're getting into what I really believe is our core identity. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And it continues to go and say, "And I'm with you to the end of the earth. And what is so incredibly significant in that is that's where we get our core identity. Who are you? Who are you? You are a follower of Jesus Christ. And our commission is to make disciples, to be disciples, and to make disciples for the transformation of the world. And sometimes we may be a baker, and sometimes we may be, a school teacher, and sometimes we may be a student, and sometimes we may be out of work. You know, that's what we do. But who we are, our core identity, is followers of Jesus Christ who are making disciples. When we understand that as our core identity, regardless of what job we may do along the way, we can understand how that goes about changing lives and changing worlds. It was interesting, Steve, in introducing a hymn this morning. Y'all know some of y'all may know the hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. So he told the hymn story behind that. And it's about this guy, and the guy was a cabinet maker. It's just like in the middle of the 1800s. He was like a cabinet maker, and he was going to work one day, and he got this idea in his head for this song, and he started singing it, and he started writing things down. And by the end of the day, he had this great hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And so when you think about this guy, he is a disciple. He is this follower of Jesus Christ. We don't think about cabinet maker. We think about how his life influenced other people by what he did with this song. And as we look at our life and where you are and, looking around this room, it's, things that you do that are significant in bringing about the kingdom of heaven. What we then think about is we think about our calling. What on earth are we here for? This is it. To make disciples of Jesus Christ. For what? The transformation of the world. Whatever we do along the way, as far as a job, we're about changing the world for Jesus Christ, for transforming it, to make disciples, to be disciples, and to be growing disciples. Jesus spent the vast part of his ministry with 12 men. And of those 12 men, one of them didn't turn out so well. But 11 men, and then he says, coming to Galilee to this mountain. I think if Jesus had just been interested in drawing a crowd, he preached to crowds, but if that had been his major emphasis, it's like, count and see how many we had last night, 5,000, okay, how we can get next to 7,000. Jesus was committed to making disciples, changing those men's life. And because of that, they ended up changing and transforming the world. And we're here. We stand on their shoulders, in a sense, because of that. We are to be making disciples. That can be tough, hard work. And in a world where sometimes we get more committed with nickels and noses and how many people are in the seats and that sort of thing, it's the quality, going deep, the hard work of being with people through difficult times and overcoming whatever obstacles or addictions or things may be in their life and maybe in our lives to become deep, committed persons of faith and followers of Jesus Christ. And in that, we discover our identity and purpose. And in that, we transform and change the world. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for the graduates and for all that lies ahead of them. And I pray that you would give them Godspeed, keep them from danger, keep them from injury, help them to be a blessing wherever they are. Help them as they discern where you may be calling them on their journey. Then be with each of us here, Lord, whatever stage or age we may be, to understand what our core identity is to use the gifts and graces that we have to be able to share this incredible good news that Christ has risen from the dead and he gives us a chance to live a resurrected life that goes on for eternity, to share that good news and blessing with others. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.